Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, I'm excited to have with us Laura Dewey. Laura is the founder of the Self-Leadership Lab. The lab offers self-leadership coaching and training for individuals, executives, and companies with concrete tools and experiential learning to develop new habits and be a better leader to yourself and others in life and in work. Getting from point A to point B can be easy and graceful or full of stress and struggle. The difference lies in your ability to effectively lead yourself. As Laura likes to say, self-leadership is the stuff no one taught us in school. Laura began her professional life as a groundbreaking female leader in the restaurant industry, but two events changed the course of her life forever. Getting sober in 2003 and later receiving her master's degree in spiritual psychology from the University of Santa Monica. There she found a whole new way of being in the world, an inside-out approach. Instead of being rocked by outer circumstances, she learned skills to manage her emotions and master her mindset no matter what life threw at her. Not only did Laura discover remarkable ways to improve her own life, but she has the skills, ability, and experience to dramatically improve the lives of others in a fun environment. So Laura, thanks so much for joining us today to talk to us about emotional intelligence. I'm so happy to have you here.
Jennifer, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I know. So please tell our listeners a little bit about these two moments that completely shifted your life and kind of where you were before and how it changed the after of your life.
Well, you heard the introduction. My before was I was drinking heavily, and I now identify as an alcoholic. So I was an alcoholic. I was highly functioning. I managed to build a really successful career along the way. But I was very fear-driven. I was very closed. I put on a good face for work. But inside, I felt really quite flawed, like I didn't belong out in the world. I was also eternally single. Eternally single. I was in that dreaded push-pull of wanting to connect, but having no idea how to be close to someone. Wow. So God forbid somebody actually showed interest in me, other than, you know, the fling and the friends with benefits kind of thing, I would run as fast as I could. So there's that. And
good
then
times.
I got sober in 2003, and making that decision, or actually walking into my first meeting, was the single hardest thing I've ever done. And it was decades in the making. And it was also the single best thing I've ever done. And it was there I started to question everything I thought to be true about me, about my life, about the world, about how I relate with the world. And my self-inquiry really began then. And my real bend towards personal growth also just kicked up 12 notches. And so that changed my life dramatically. I ended up meeting my husband about a year after I got sober. I am now open and loving, and I'm in business for myself, doing work that is a perfect expression of who I am. So I'm really, really completely different. And then, I don't know, it's been 5 years or so, I got my education in spiritual psychology, and that was unbelievable. It took what I learned when I got sober and just, wow, that brought me to where I am today. So really possessing incredible skills, not only to work with myself, but to work with others as well.
Yeah, I think it's so beautiful to discuss your evolution of how you get there. And for some people, you know, I had a family member recently who got sober and was just talking to her the other day about it, and it changed her life in prolific ways. And for some people, we all have different obstacles. For some people, it might be sobriety or other issues in their lives. But when you remove that barrier or obstacle, new openings become available. Would you say that?
Absolutely. And I would also say openings you didn't even know were possible. And I know that sounds cliche, but it's true. It's true.
Yeah. And I loved when you and I were preparing and chatting about this show that we were talking about the inner game, the stuff that nobody teaches us in school. And you're absolutely right. Emotional intelligence on how to actually be a happy, you know, functioning human being in society and, you know, be happy and joyful in what you do is something that nobody teaches us. And I think it's an invaluable trait that when you learn it, it fulfills all those areas. All areas of your life. Look at you. You know, you met your husband, who, by the way, shout out, is an amazing guy, and we wouldn't be doing the show without him. You know, we met on a drive one day, and next thing you know, here we are having this great conversation.
Yes, and the inner and outer game is important for everything we do. But I know your show is about get yourself the job, and it's critical there. Whenever I reach out, when someone reaches out to me about wanting to shift careers or just find a job because they're out of work, I let them know that there's an inner and an outer game. And sure, I can help you with the outer game, you know, doing research and updating your resume and leveraging your network. Yeah, but you can have the best plan in the world, and if your inside is not aligned, you know, nothing's going to happen with that plan. You'll find yourself, quote unquote, procrastinating, right?
Yeah.
Or not doing what you think you should be doing. It's because your inside is kicking and screaming. So my job is to help you get that that inside rowing in the same direction as you want your outside.
So how could you do that? You know, I see it happen a lot on my end where I meet these people who have all the right attributes or the right resume or the right presentation. And like you said, they just can't figure it out why they're unable to make that career transition or get a new job. How do you begin to align the two?
Well, it is in your ability to lead yourself. And so the very core of my work, all of my coaching, all of my training is in this space between stimulus and response. So I'll back up a little bit. Regarding the stuff no one taught us in school, you know, nobody taught me what emotions are.
What? What are those?
Yeah, I know. If I asked 100 people, I'd get, in fact, I've asked many, many people, and I get an amazing array of answers. Usually people answer by saying feelings. Well, okay, let's just consider them the same for now. What are they? And people just don't know. And yet they're here right in our face. My hand's right in front of my face right now. They're here in front of us all day, every day, right? Affecting how we see the world, affecting our ability to lead ourselves. Yet we don't know what they are. So I have a fun way to unravel this. So I'll just ask you, Jennifer, if I don't know if you have any windows in the studio, but imagine I say it's pouring outside. How do you feel when I say that?
Excited, because Southern California needs the rain.
Okay, excited, super. And if you asked me, and let's say I had to drive to Santa Monica this afternoon, I would feel a sense of dread. And my husband might make him feel, we'll just say lazy.
Okay.
And if we asked two more people, we'd get two more answers. And then Ellen feels afraid when I say it's pouring outside. So I ask you, same rain, 4, 5, 6 different feelings. So is the rain causing our feelings?
That is a great question. So please tell us what is causing it if it's not the rain.
Oh, so you feel maybe it's not the rain.
Could be onto something.
It can't be because same rain, all these different feelings. So I like to show a flow chart. So imagine at the top you've got the word rain and an arrow below it and then a big space and an arrow below that, and then the feeling at the bottom. So for you, it would be rain, space, excited at the bottom. Well, you already told us what you're putting in the space between stimulus and response, and what was that?
It's the concept that we need, well, not the concept, the fact that we need more rain in Southern California to sustain ourselves and prevent another drought.
California needs the rain. The earth needs it, right? So that's what you're putting in the space. I'm putting in the space, traffic will be hideous. My husband's putting in the space, there's something about rain. It just makes me want to nest. relaxed and, you know, have big Italian meals and watch TV with my honey, right?
That sounds good too.
I know. Actually, that's one of mine. I just projected it onto him. And then Ellen puts in the space, I get so afraid every time it rains ever since I was attacked in the rain 10 years ago.
Mm.
So what are we putting in the space? What is causing our feeling?
I'm going to throw this out there. I don't know if this is correct or not, but perhaps it's our perspective and it's our own view of the circumstance and our life experiences.
Exactly. What we like to call the meaning you assign to the rain. So whatever you make the rain mean or the stimulus is what causes the feeling. Emotions are thoughts felt physiologically.
Mm.
Thoughts felt in our bodies. Nobody teaches us that. It's not fair.
I want you to think it's
the other way around. You know, you walk into a cold room, you get goosebumps. It just happens. No. Their emotions are based on a thought.
I want you to say that again, what you said about 30 seconds before that of emotions are thoughts in our body. Is that what you had said?
Thoughts felt physiologically. Emotions felt in our body. So the biology of that is, and let's just look at a fight, flight, or freeze reaction. We perceive a threat. Right? The tiger's chasing us. So scientists still don't know exactly what thoughts are, but all agree that they are electrical, right? So you have zap nanosecond thought. Well, that releases, in the case of the tiger, adrenaline and perhaps some other hormones to help us access the energy to do what we need to do to survive through this, right?
So okay.
It releases adrenaline. Now, electricity, fast, chemicals, more slow, right? So it's zap, slow. So if the tiger's still coming, our second thought will be, it's still coming, I'm going to die, right? So more adrenaline. And thank goodness we have this or we'd be dead as a species, right?
Correct.
So zap, slow. And then this is the last day of my life, right? You have these thoughts. And so you keep stoking the same chemical cocktail through your veins. Right? As long as you perpetuate a similar thought, which is great when the tiger's chasing us, but not so great when not. So we have this primitive part of ourselves called the autonomic nervous system. And that's just the part that I'm talking about. It's like software running behind the scenes. It's scanning for threats. Well, it doesn't have many tigers to look for now. So it looks for threats in our everyday environment. So one of those threats could be, I just lost my job. So I just lost my job, and now you've got who knows what hormones running through, but they're often sad or stressful chemicals. And there's thousands of hormones, so the cocktail's, you know, different depending on the thought. So I just lost my job, flow of those chemicals. I always say that we don't necessarily own that first one. Because we have a lot of stuff that we picked up in our young lives, right? My mother was very loud, so when I hear someone yell, I tense up, and I realize I'm not there anymore. You know, I don't need to. I don't need to be concerned about this, right? So we may not own the first thought, but we can jump in with self leadership on the second thought. So that, let's see. I just lost my job. I'm going to be homeless in the street, right? That's the first thought.
Of course, for many people.
And maybe the second thought, you know? But when you're ready, all you have to do is think a different thought that releases a different chemical cocktail to have a different feeling. You know? And I've heard, I told you when we were talking, I've heard so many people say, you know, I hated that job anyway.
I know, we hear that all the time. And that's probably from a, you know, energy standpoint, what elicits the firing to begin with is most people are dissatisfied in their jobs, and it does come across either in their work or lack of work. And that's how they wind up getting terminated in some cases, not all.
Yes, because everything we do rides on the energy that we're carrying inside. So if and you're half in, everything you say, do, every email you write, and this is my belief. I don't have empirical evidence on this, but I believe that it rides. Everything rides on that. And it goes for applying for jobs. If you're full of fear and need and lack, and you're writing a cover letter, maybe even you choose the right words, but I don't know.
That's a great point.
That energy.
Yeah, you're so right, because I see it happen so often when a job seeker has lost their job and they are in desperation, survival, the tiger is coming for me mode, that they write that way, they present that way in the interview, and everything about them is, please save me from my own desperation of, I'm not going to survive this.
Needy is creepy.
Yes, needy is creepy. I'm so sorry to anybody listening out there. I'm sure we've all been in that position some point or another. Even romantically, it comes across where you just like fall so head over heels in love with somebody. A couple weeks or months ago, we had somebody on the show talking about how dating and job hunting are very similar in that way.
Very similar.
Yeah, because it does happen. And so if you can just be aware that that's not how you're intending to come across. And, you know, just recently I'd had a job seeker saying how impossible it was and what an awful interviewer she was. And she was projecting that. She didn't understand. And I said, oh, well, can I offer something? And she said, sure. I said, how about we never say that statement again if that's not what you're committed to, because that's what you're going to attract. And she said, oh, Jennifer, I'm just telling you because it's you. And I said to her, you're saying it, and then that's solidifying it, going back to those endorphins or the chemical cocktail in your brain that then brings those same emotions up every time you interview.
Absolutely. And words matter. Words matter in our consciousness. And so you own the second thought, and that can be anything you want. You know, I hated that job anyway, second thought. Another second thought could be, you know, I have no idea what's out there. I could find something even better. And even as I say that, I feel more lifted than, oh my goodness, I'm going to be homeless in the street.
Yeah, it's a great point. And so how would you recommend, because it's one thing for you and I to have a hypothetical conversation, us both having incomes and being gainfully employed in our own businesses right now. But it's another thing entirely. Is it your amygdala? Is that the animalistic side of your brain that kind of takes over and starts sending these cocktails to your brain?
Autonomic nervous system is the one scanning for threats.
Okay, got it.
The amygdala, I believe, is our lizard brain. I can't remember.
I know, right? Going back to like
college
biology 101. But the point is that when we go to that place of we're actually physically feeling like, though there might not be a tiger, there's the hypothetical tiger of being homeless. How do you encourage people to even be able to choose to have a different thought and to be proactive rather than reactive? How can you even do that when you literally feel like your life is on the line in that moment?
Yes, that's such a great question. And the very first is to do a reality check. Like I have people who have a bunch of money in the bank, right? But yet they still feel like they're going to be homeless on the street. So I say, is this a matter of not being able to pay your rent? I mean, just doing a reality check to see if what you're thinking is accurate. I used to walk around saying, I don't have any money, when really in the bank, thanks to a sale of a business at one point, I had a whole bunch of money, and I realized, wow, this is not serving me. I don't want to spend that money, yet I do have that money, right? And they're two very, very different things. So to do a reality check, first of all, and if indeed you're in trouble, financially, real trouble, then that's your first order of business, is to come up with a plan to tide yourself over, right? I don't know if that's asking family or friends or whatever. So we're not talking about that right now. We're just talking about a mindset that will serve. So one of the favorite things I do in my practice is we'll do a stem sentence exercise. So that will sound like this. The first question would be, I just lost my job, so ... And then I ask my client to answer that question as many times as they possibly can. Without thinking too much, right? To just keep I say vomiting, keep vomiting the sentence out until your brain has nothing left. And it's amazing what you find in there. And you find real fears in there. You find often very irrational fears in there. Sometimes you find good stuff in there. I'll be able to find a job that I really love. Great. Awesome. And if somebody gives a list that's too too happy, happy, joy, joy, I'll say, you know, is there any shadow side to this? Is there anything that's not so ideal that might happen since you lost your job? And then we hear about that. And then we go through each one and I say, is that true? Is it always true? Does it have to be true? And so often, like, it's going to be hard to find a job. Is that true? I don't know. Is it always true? No. Does it have to be true? No. Okay, good. So let's cross that one out, right?
That's awesome.
Because we have this habit of believing what we think, we humans, and it's just not a good idea.
Yeah, we
All thoughts are suspect. Yeah.
Yeah, we tend to put so much meaning and belief into things. And the more that we repeat those things, whether it's internally by thoughts, externally by words, the more real it becomes for us. And I love the idea that you're sharing of writing it out and being able to kind of take a step back and look at it and go, okay, is this true? Could it be true? Does it need to be true? I love that concept because I think there are so many different situations that it could be applied to, not just in job hunting, but in any life situation where maybe things didn't turn out the way that you anticipated, and it gives you an empowering context to move forward.
Absolutely. It uncovers what's happening inside. And remember, it's the inside that's holding you back, not the outside. It's the inside. So, it's a tremendous exercise. And as you say, it's useful in any situation where you have a degree of upset inside.
Now, even if somebody feels hopeless or stressed, have you found that your clients are still able to engage in this exercise even when they're still in the midst of the depression or the upset?
And by exercise, do you mean
the so exercise? Yeah, the thinking other thoughts or the exercise of writing out what's kind of going through their mind. Are people generally receptive to this or do they resist it because?
No, extremely receptive. And it is best to do it when you are in the upset because it's present. I was doing one with a longtime client today, and the very first answer she gave, I was writing a note. I was on a Zoom with her, so I was looking down writing a note, and then I realized she was in tears. And but what she said was it. I mean, it was it. I said, "Well, that was the shortest stem sentence exercise." Because you know, when the tears come, you know that's really it. Like that, we can blame all kinds of stuff, but when you come up with something that touches you so deeply, that's the big fear. That's the big fear. So, but I love to have a list of 20 things. I just spit it all out. What else? What else? What else? That's what I do. What else? And so they're very receptive of that.
And
as far as thinking, go ahead.
Oh, you go right ahead. As far as thinking, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, as far as the thinking new thoughts or putting something else in the space, that does take practice. And so when I do live training, and obviously in one-on-one coaching, I have them imagine a thought that could bring them to neutral. So I just lost my job is the stimulus, and we want neutral to come out the other end. What thought could you think to bring you to neutral? And sometimes that's very challenging, but inevitably they can think of a thought. And if they're so in it that they can't, I'll say, just imagine someone else. You've asked someone else to think of a thought that will bring them to neutral. They can do that. It's interesting when you step out of your own life. And then we do a third round. And I said, okay, this may sound crazy. And you may have to pretend you're writing a fairy tale. But what thought could you think to bring you to either happy or grateful? I just lost my job. And out the other end, you want happy or grateful to come. What thought could you think?
That's a great point that you raise. I remember there was a situation right around this time of year, around the holidays. It was about 4 or 5 years ago when I was writing my book, Stop Hoping, Start Hunting. And this woman was beside herself. We met at a Starbucks and she said, Jennifer, I'm the breadwinner. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just got laid off from my job. I've never been laid off in my life. And she was in that, you know, instinctual sort of mindset that we talked about earlier. And she and I talked about it, and it was, I didn't have quite as eloquent of an exercise to do with her. But what I suggested is, I said, what could be something? I said, when was the last time, because she had two kids, that you had time off on Thanksgiving or Christmas with your kids? And when they had time off, and she just looked at me and she said, well, Jennifer, as long as I've been working, I've never had time off with my kids around the holidays. I said, bingo, that's it. Now, if you can actually just create that you're going to find the job of your dreams by, you know, December 31st or January 30th, whatever, 31st, whatever that might look like, and, you know, kind of set that intention and put that out there. And in the meantime, give yourself permission to love and be with your husband and your kids and really soak up this opportunity to have this extra time with them. What would that be like? And she said, well, that would be miraculous. And in that moment, she was able to completely shift her perspective around it. And it was the day, it must have been Christmas Eve, that's what it was, that year. She called me in tears and she said, Jennifer, I landed a job closer to home with more money and I got to enjoy those 6 weeks with my kids. And it was just such a miracle. And all it took was that shift in perspective.
Exactly. What a beautiful story. And you mentioned permission, and there is no substitute for permission. Take it out. Take job hunting off the table. In her case, just take it off the table and then devote yourself after Thanksgiving or whatever. But so often we're doing, I work with people that work from home, some of my clients. And when they're working at home, they feel like they should be doing stuff around the house. And when they're doing stuff around the house, they feel like they should be working instead of giving themselves permission to do one or the other for X amount of time. You know, it makes all the difference. So yeah, that's a powerful example of how mindset matters. Mindset matters.
It does. And I think I love what you said about the stimulus and response as well, because it's that space in between. It's the pause. And if we can just pause and choose rather than react and allow that animal instinct, that lizard brain to take over, we've just given ourselves our power back. And then we're no longer beholden to the thoughts that we don't want running our lives.
Yes, you are all over it. You know, we proved it with the rain, right? The rain example proved that what happens outside of us does not cause our reaction, right? What happens inside of us does. Well, the truth is, it's not just the rain. It's everything. So no one can make you feel a certain way. My boyfriend just made me feel XYZ, right? No. No. There's something inside you that created that feeling. He could have said those same words to someone else and they wouldn't have had that same reaction. So it's startling. It's startling to realize that once this is out, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. It's like, oh no, I can't blame the ills of the world for my state. You mean it's really me doing this to me? Now, you can think that's really terrifying, but I think it's incredible. Like you, I see it as empowering. Instead of being a victim, you get to be an owner of your life.
Yeah, you get to create and design your life rather than being at the effect. And then you are the only one who has the power in your life. And no one, no job, no boss, no colleague can ever or will ever, quote unquote, do anything to you again. And it ties into this hot topic of bullying earlier this year. I'd had a couple of experts on the show about it. And bullying, I'm not disagreeing with the fact that, God forbid, there are school children out there who are kicked and mistreated for gender and heck, stuff like that, hopefully not to the same extent, does happen in, you know, peer circles and social circles and workplaces. But at the same time, I've noticed, and what some of the experts on bullying even said, is that you can't be bullied if you stand up to yourself and you call the bully out on what they are, which is a bully, then you're no longer under their hold or under their power. And so many bosses out there are even considered bullies. And by using what you just said, you could look at the trigger and where it triggers you and then choose a different response rather than just being at the affective situations and people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The reason bullying, and I'm not talking about the terrorizing, right, like you said, the reason it hurts is because there's a part of the person being bullied who believes it to be true, right? So
yep.
I call it a tender spot. So imagine that you've got this horrible bruise, and then somebody pokes it, like, ow, right? Well, through what we're talking about, if you can remove the bruise so they just end up poking you and it's like, whatever, that's irritating, you know, whatever, it's a whole different thing. So if there's no tender spot, there's no hurt. So the challenge is to just shed our tender spots, those things that we believe to be true about ourselves that just aren't. Easier said than done. But the stuff that I'm talking about the space, about what emotions are, we should be teaching this beginning in elementary school.
Oh my gosh, I wish I had known. It would have saved me many painful years between the ages of about 3 and 25 until I started on my personal development journey. I'm sure it would have helped.
3 and 40 for me.
Right? Thank God for personal development and personal growth and having education. And thank you for what you're doing too, because it's great that you're able to reflect back to people and show them that it doesn't have to be this way. And the minute you get that, that's everything.
It's everything. And not everybody's ready to receive this. I was teaching a group, it was a business that invited me in, and there was a father and son involved in it. And the son was very, very, very difficult. and he and his father were at odds, to say the least. And so he said, I hear what you're saying, Laura, and I get it. This makes sense, except there should be a do not be a jerk, and that's not the word he used. Don't be a jerk qualification. Because if you're a jerk, then I have every right to act out. No.
Ugh.
Right? Because you can't control the world. You can't. There's going to be jerks. There's going to be job loss. There's going to be, God forbid, floods. There's going to be things in our environment. And we can't control that. And that's another really hard lesson. Really hard lesson to really understand what you have control or influence over and what you don't. And if you don't, let it go, right? But what we can control is what's inside our own four walls, what's happening inside of us. That's what we have control over.
Yeah, absolutely. And realizing that expectations are just that. They're expectations. They're not good. They're not bad. They're not right. They're not wrong. And it's just something that when you can release them and let them go using different methodologies that you mentioned, I love the Sedona method too, great methodology to release expectations, then you can apply any one of these principles or your teachings and then let go of them and go, oh, okay, that was an expectation. It didn't turn out the way I wanted. What can I recommit myself to in this moment and move forward rather than making the person, the situation wrong and simmering in that anger and resentment and bitterness, which is what so many of us do.
Exactly. And it goes back to restoking the circuitry, right? With repetitive thoughts. There are people that are still in the same amount of upset 10 years after the offending event, right? And you just don't have, you can do that. You have every right to do that. How's it working? And just know that you don't have to stay there, that there is a way out.
Well, one more question for you, because it's something I learned a couple years ago, and I'm curious to see if you've seen it work or ever utilized it. Is EFT or tapping, have you ever found that to be helpful to kind of get rid of or release any of those negative emotions or triggers that hold us back?
I have taken some training in tapping. I know people personally who have found tremendous benefit in it. I've used other methodology in my own life, really as the primary release.
Mm.
I use tapping to anchor things in, actually.
Oh, nice.
Some phrases, if I'm going into a talk and I want to make sure that I put a certain phrase in there, I will tap it in, and I find that very helpful. So, yeah, one thing about why my company's called The Lab is I believe in experiential learning. I can't tell anyone what's right for their lives. The best way to decide what's right for you is through firsthand experience. So That's what we do in the lab. And as far as tapping, if you do it and it works for you, that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know.
I agree, too, is that there are so many wonderful methodologies, and it sounds like I learned so much from you today just by sharing about what was that sentence thing? How did you call it again? The thing with the so dot, dot, dot?
I'm sorry. Oh, the stem sentence.
Stem sentence. Okay, I wasn't there. I need to tap that in. It wasn't quite landing as far as, you know, how you want to remember something. I'm like, I need to go back and listen to this show again, because I think it was just such a wonderful tool out there. So please, you know, tell our listeners, Laura, where can they find information if they want to hire you, if it's a corporation or an individual, in order to get the benefits of your amazing coaching? Where would they go?
You can find me at theselfleadershiplab.com. And you can contact me through there. I do amazing work with individuals and with companies. And my training is, as I said, highly experiential. So you leave not just with some white binder that you throw on a shelf, never look at again, but with having experienced the skill inside of you. So it leaves with you, not just on your person. It leaves inside of you.
Awesome, Laura. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today, Laura. So please do check out theselfleadershiplab.com. And as always, the show will be available for download on the archive section of the Get Yourself the Job page on LA Talk Radio. Otherwise, you're welcome to listen to it at any later point again to go back and find all these great little nuggets that Laura offered on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. And as always, we invite you to please leave us any feedback, ratings, any thoughts you have on the show on iTunes, or you can also leave us feedback on our Facebook page, also entitled Get Yourself the Job. And tune in next week. I know a lot of people will be traveling for the holiday, but whether you listen live at 4 p.m. or catch the show later, we're going to have Jan Robinson on the show, who is a self-proclaimed poet and is intent that you stop living the life that you're not meant to live and you pursue your dreams. So we hope you can join us next week. Happy holidays, everybody. And thank you again for joining us on the show today, Laura.
The pleasure was mine, Jennifer. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.